Thursday. Welcome to Tiltcast Shorts, the new show that won't judge you for the games you don't buy. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
And it's just the two of us talking about cheap games. There was a study done very recently saying that U.S. gamers aren't buying many video games anymore. Imagine that. We're just talking about this the other day. Well, we record on one day. We were just talking about it a few minutes ago. But here we are posting on Thursday because we don't wear the same shirts for 3 days in a row. Well, 5 days in a row. I don't know. but anyways,
don't give away all of our secrets.
It's all right. There's a new study done by Circana that revealed that most U.S. gamers are buying fewer video games. We're just talking about $80 games, right? And there's been some rumors that Grand Theft Auto was going to be $100 for GTA 6. The study shows, though, that the majority of gamers are buying few games. So 63% of U.S. gamers purchase two games or fewer per year. Surprising, 33% of gamers do not buy any new games at all over a typical 12-month period. And the majority of game sales are supported by a small group of hyper-enthusiasts, which would be me. Only 4% buy a new game more often than once a month. That's me, but I don't usually buy more than one AAA. A lot of this is just – a lot of it is hypothesized that it's a shift based on subscription service and games as a service, right? So you got games – subscription services like Game Pass, which is something you subscribe to and I subscribe to.
And there's and even the higher levels of PlayStation Plus.
Right. Well, those are all super old games. But then you got Fortnite, right, where the revenue comes from microtransactions. You got Apex Legends, right? Same kind of thing. You've got some people that just bought Battlefield 6, which it's probably all they're going to play for most of the year. Like, I would say 80% of the people that bought Battlefield 6, that's literally all they're playing.
Warzone's full of microtransactions, PUBG, Roblox, and that makes a – here's the thing. Roblox, PUBG, Call of Duty, Warzone, and Fortnite make up the majority of daily gaming in the U.S.
Yeah.
Those four titles.
There was a study that was saying – that was trying to include gamers as people that played mobile games, and I don't really count that. It's not because I'm trying to snub mobile games. It's just it's really hard to decide how many of those people play games other than those random games you get advertised to you on social media. Like,
correct. And even then, serious gamers like you and me still play mobile games, you know, for example, like on breaks at work, things like that, just because it's easy. We're not making that necessarily a daily thing in our lives all the time, but
right.
But that also broadens the pool to people like my parents who never played a real console or PC game in their lives, right? They played Microsoft Solitaire. They played Minesweeper. They played, Microsoft Hearts, you know, things like that. They never played, you know, like back in the day, Doom or even ones that were Microsoft specific, well, like Mega Race or Road Rash or anything like that.
I think I've always everybody spends their time a little differently. I mean, I've got a lot of outside responsibilities and so do you. I don't watch very much TV. In fact, I watch way less TV than most people. The only thing I'm going to watch this year is the new Stranger Things and Fallout. That's literally it. And last year, Fallout was the only thing I really watched. This evening, I don't really watch movies unless somebody wants to go to the movies with me, right? Like, the only movie I watched last year was the new Nosferatu. And that's because my girlfriend wanted to go to it. So I spend a lot of time on games as my primary form of entertainment outside of my pro hobbies. And pro hobbies also including this, right? So for me, I buy a lot. But I also don't buy a lot of AAA. I buy a lot of indie. and a lot on sale, right? We need it as a sponsor, but I use Green Man quite a bit. And then obviously I kind of go through Steam sales. The vast majority of games I have are Steam sales or indies. I talked about it on the podcast, right? I am playing some AAA games right now, but the vast majority of these games are $20 or less. So my game budget that I usually give myself is $100 or less for video games monthly. And I usually get quite a few titles for that because I've got Mega Bonk. I'm playing that. I got that on sale for $7.99. Fun game, by the way, but not incredibly long. So the vast majority of people are playing games as a service. And you think about growing up, too, like when we're millennials. Everybody that's on the show is a millennial. We were all born in the early 80s. And for us, there was the ability to rent games. And for a long time, 80s and 90s and early 2000s, there were game rental services. And all the way through the 2010s, there was Gamefly. And when we first started this show, we were actually utilizing Gamefly quite a bit because it was a really inexpensive way for us to rent games on disc for Xbox. And so that's how we were able to...
Between that and the regional, like collectibles store, vintage stock. So I did a lot of my gaming.
Well, and we didn't have we didn't have much of a budget, to be honest with you. Like all of us made a little bit more than minimum wage when we started this show. And we've since grown up. We've been doing this show, variations of the show for over 10 years. But back in the day, my budget for games was I could buy one $60 game a month if I was lucky. And I had to really ration out stuff, or I could do the game rental service. And so I did the game rental service for several months, and then until I started doing a little bit more PC gaming. And then it was just Steam sales. But the vast majority of people just stick to a single game because of the cost of everything, right? We were talking about $80 games. That's a lot of money. I was talking with a friend of mine that went with me to a show. I was taking pictures. He wanted to go see the show I was taking pictures of, so he came with. He's like, yeah, so like when I'm playing, you know, a game, and he makes less than I do. And he was like, if it's $70, I want it to be 250 hours worth of gaming. He's like, I want that sucker to last me like two full months of gaming outside of playing bands, because he plays in a band, outside of doing my band stuff. He's like, I don't want it to be short. So like he typically plays stuff like The Legend of Zelda or Assassin's Creed. He likes the super long games like that. He was looking at what was the game that we were all playing earlier this year that was really good, that was like Final Fantasy? Not Metaphor. Expedition 33. Like, he was really hyped on that. Like, he's done every build six ways from Sunday. And that was a $50 game, so he was, like, super hyped on that. He's like, that was the best deal all year. It's like, A, good game, written for somebody who's my age. And B, like, the mechanics are good, it looks really good, and it wasn't that expensive. He's like, my cost per hour was really good on that game. And he also doesn't play competitive shooters, but he plays really long-form single-player games. And I think it's like that for a lot of people, like the cost of everything, right? I just got super basic groceries and I just spent $120 for super basic groceries to last me this week. Didn't get no frills. And things are expensive right now. People really need to really focus more on what we're giving out to the masses, right? I think.
Well, and I feel like the one thing this article doesn't really factor into, and I understand, why they kind of tried to avoid this with study as well, because study doesn't get into this. But I mean, a big shift over the last 10 years has been the economy.
Yes.
Especially the last five, the last five prices on everything inflated like a rocket ship.
It's everybody's housing costs.
That has a large impact on it. That has a large impact on this too, people would rather play games they've already purchased or play the games as a service like Fortnite, like Warzone.
Well, and you think, like, if you think about that, and we never wax too political here, but if on average, right, everybody's bills basically went up like $500 to $1,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
Which that's just not very few of us got a raise of $500 to $1,000 a month in the last several years. And so that cut into your BS money, like the things that you do because you have extra cash.
Yeah. And cost inflation didn't just affect. Now, I know this study was focused on U.S. gamers, right? But that affected sales worldwide the last 5 years. Pricing inflation after COVID affected the entire world. So it's not just that U.S. sales are down. Sales worldwide are down. I think you've got some... you've got certain countries like Japan where that effect has been felt less. One, because it's a culture thing. They're going by their games, whole cloth, pretty much all the time. But two, also, there are certain things that are just sold cheaper over there, and video games is kind of one of them, like on the average. You see those things go on sale more, etc. And the fact that a lot of the large developers and publishers are Japanese kind of helps them in that. But for the most part, worldwide, sales are down. So I feel like it's a combination of both the popularity of free-to-play games with microtransactions for the second, games as a service like Game Pass, and then third, just the overall economic inflation. It's gonna be tough stuff, and these developers and publishers are gonna have to start figuring out that quality over quantity is going to be the way to go. But I also feel like this study's probably going to start pushing certain publishers to lean more on the free-to-play microtransaction model.
Yeah. I really hope that our game developers really start to focus on quality of what they're putting out versus quantity of what they're putting out. So they don't have to inflate the price as much as they have to get a return on investment for what they're doing. Right. Again, games cost a lot to make because you got to employ a lot of people, but keeping that studio size smaller does definitely help. But, what do you guys think? You guys gaming more? You guys gaming less? Are you part of the group that's buying a game every single month like me? Or are you playing a subscription service? Leave us a comment. Subscribe. And if you would, find full episodes of the show at tiltcast.com on iTunes and Spotify, as well as YouTube. And of course, you can watch the videos over here at youtube.com/tiltcastshorts with a Z. We'll catch you guys on Saturday.